Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is part two of Distraction Pieces Podcast, episode 113 with Limmy. It's brought to you by Speech of Elmer Records, but I told you loads of stuff about that in the last episode, so I'll keep this intro a bit briefer. It was such a lovely chat with Limmy. As you heard in the last episode, there's no fear in being open and shit getting heavy. In this episode, it continues, and at points it gets heavier. There's some bits that we discussed which I didn't expect to discuss, but I was delighted to discuss. There's also, we're going to talk a bit about films, good films and shit films, and the benefits of both. So there's loads of really good stuff in here. I'll mention at the beginning, as I only mentioned it at the end last time, and we mentioned it at the end of this, but Limmy is taking Limmy Live on the road in September. He's at the Lowry in Salford on the 13th of September and the Apollo in London on the 16th of September. If there's any tickets left, you'll be able to snap them up online. I mean, you've got Google. Just be a grown-up about it. Go and find him yourself. I'm not going to tell you exact links and whatnot. Jeez, I believe in you. Is there anything else I need to let you know that's going on? I've told you about next week's episode with Neil Woods. That's going to be absolutely amazing. Check out his book, Good Cop, Bad War, in the meantime, if you want. It's really good. I think that's everything. I'm just going to let the podcast do the rest of the talking. This is Distraction Pieces Podcast, episode 113, part two, with Limmy, or Brian Limmon. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces.
Tenor that I drop, you've got to give that back right away. Yeah, it was never yours, so don't get all upset. It's kind of like that time-wise. See, if you're sitting down to play this game, get it in your mind, this is a gift, this time, right? Yep. At any minute, this is going to get interrupted. And before, I think I felt like, no, this is mine.
Yeah, I'm entitled to this time.
This is mine. So I felt like, I can't fucking think. I can't do anything. So life becomes fucking joyless and it becomes a chore. And you can't, well, me anyway, can't get into how to enjoy being a dad.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking, no, this is getting in the way of all my fun things, and it starts to fuck with your head. And I can never just sit about again. Yeah. I'm so used to it, I didn't even know I was. And I know that sounds really fucking spoiled, especially considering I'm my dad, and Lynn was doing all the fucking upbringing. And I'm looking after on the fucking breastfeeding her up at 3 a.m. and all of that. And I'm going, boo fucking who, poor me. But for some reason, it just clashed with my fucking head. Maybe if somebody came along and said, listen, I know, don't feel guilty. Don't feel like, oh, poor fucking me.
Yeah.
Really, it's a problem. It's called this, some fancy term. I don't even care if somebody made it up on the spot. Called paternal, and then some Latin name.
Yeah.
And it's a serious problem. Yeah. Is it? Good. Somebody understands me finally.
Yeah.
All you need to do is just get this into your mind. Try and see it for this perspective and all that. But I think it's my fucking duty to say to anybody, like any new mas or dads, I don't know if I've got the right to speak to any mas, but dads anyway, that it could be fucking bad for you to think that it's a cracking time in your life if it ends up no being.
Yeah.
Because you might think, it's kind of the same feeling as, like, Hogmanay. We're all going out for Hogmanay. Oh, we're going to be here in this place for the bells. Oh, it's going to be cracking. It's going to be brilliant. And that can get you fucking done. It gets us, it does, has this effect on me.
Completely. It can never quite live up to what everyone is building it up to be.
It used to be good, like, when I was, like, a teenager or something, or this means something. Then as you get older, it doesn't. Oh, we'll be there, and then 10, 9, 8, and then it's the bells. Happy New Year, and you're everybody, you think everybody's happy except me, or at least I'm not as happy as what I think I'm meant to be.
Yep.
And instead of going like that to yourself, this is actually shite. This is actually boring. Yep. This pub, this place, the Bells, Hogmanay. This is actually boring. In fact, this doesn't mean anything to me. This, I don't care. See, when you do that, feels good.
Yeah.
You can relax and fucking unwind.
You can accept it.
Aye, going, this is fucking shite.
About over 10 years ago now, I'd say, I decided exactly that on New Year's Eve. I was like, I want to stay in on my own and watch a film and watch stuff and have some food, maybe have a drink. If I'm in a relationship, then we'll do it. If not, that's fine. I'm on my own. And New Year's Eve is now one of my favourite nights of the year because I sit in. I normally watch a gangster movie of some sort and it's beautiful and I really enjoy it. But I started to hate it because that pressure was, we're going to go here, it's going to be overcrowded,
and
overpriced, and we are all going to be happy. Yeah, we're all going to be happy in the exact same way, at the exact same time,
mm-hmm.
for the exact same things.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't think I can do that. I don't think we're the same in that way.
Really good, isn't it? Are you excited? Are you looking forward to it? Are you looking forward to it? We're going to go here for the Bells. We's going for the Bells. You're like, fucking hell. It's like it's kind of like how people could go, how can the Smiths and Morrissey, all that depressing stuff, help anybody? Does that not make them worse? No. Well, I don't know, I mean, I can only speak for myself, but I used to be in a bit of a downer when I was like maybe 16 or something, or 17 or something, and then I discovered, I knew about the Smiths and Morris, but I never got it.
Yeah.
I just see that guy that's got the specs in the hair, sticking up the hair, and I know the songs every day, it's like Sunday. But then I started feeling it, and I started listening to the music, and I'm like, it's fucking good to hear somebody talk about these. Like,
someone else relate.
I like How Soon Is Now and gone to a club and hoping you meet somebody and it doesn't work out, and I wouldn't go home and fucking cry and hope to die, but I go, it's not worked out, the night hasn't worked out and it's shite, and it's good to feel that somebody knows how that feels and you're not alone, because imagine you're surrounded by people who don't get it, who go, we ended up with somebody, or they don't care about it, they're not bothered that they didn't get off with anybody or end up with some lassie or didn't meet somebody or anything like that. And it's good to hear somebody going, it's shite.
Yeah.
It's fucking shite. It's shite.
Yeah.
Try to meet people and try to, when do I start living? Like, what's it? The boy with the thorn in his side. I don't want to be a fan and start quoting fucking the Smiths, but I think it's when you want to live, where'd you go? No, how'd you start? Where'd you go? Who'd you need to know?
Yeah.
That I hate people quoting lyrics. Yeah. Even when you're not singing it, oh no, start when you who'd you need to know? And that's kinda how I felt. Like how do I get things fucking moving? How do I meet people and do things and it's good to just hear somebody saying things like that.
Yeah.
And Hogmanay is like the opposite. Nobody's saying it's shite. You get the money, you can't go, it's fucking crap, I hate Christmas and all.
Yeah.
But it's kinda good to hear somebody saying it's shite. It kind of, oh, I'm so glad somebody said that. And same with like fatherhood or motherhood, being a parent.
Yeah.
It's good to hear somebody going, it's also, as well as the good things, it's also fucking shite.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's good to hear somebody moan about it. This guy that I follow is a Flash developer now, just a general web developer called Martin Hughes, but he's called WeFail. His company's called WeFail. And he's got these twins, these lassies that are, I think, maybe about four,
yeah,
I think. And he talks about how he fucking hates his fucking life and feels like killing himself and all that. And he's joking about it, half-joking about it.
Yeah.
But anybody watching it would think he's on the verge of killing his fucking wains.
Yeah.
Like in a kind of, like, The Shining sort of way.
Yeah.
And he's saying there's nothing more hateful than children. I don't know what he means, like he hates them or how they hate him. They say that he's bald and he's a silly bald man and all that. But he says, he just moans about it and moans about it. And that's kind of therapeutic. It's therapeutic for me and I'm sure it's therapeutic for him.
Yeah.
Just come out with the most extreme, it's not really extreme, but to come out with just, this is fucking shite.
Yeah.
Don't have fucking wains.
Yeah.
And it's funny because you're like, his daughters will read that one day and hopefully they've got the same sense of humour he's got. He might say, I'm not fucking joking.
Yeah.
It's fucking shite.
Yeah.
But it's good to just get it out there. And that's kind of why I'm saying it as well. Just, it's good to share that fucking, to laugh about it and go, Hogmanay can be fucking crap. life can be shite, crap, and boring, and holidays can be shite.
Yeah.
And Hogmanay, Heaven Wanes can be fucking rubbish. And it's...
So it's okay when you feel that and when you realise that. You're not on your own in
it's
that
good.
Belief.
It's good to go somewhere and go... See that place that I told everybody I've been looking forward to going to all year, and we're really looking forward to it. We've saved up and we're looking forward to going there, and you get there. It's good just going like that. Now that we're here, it's actually shite.
We've come all this way. Fuck this place.
It's crap. It's crap. It's good to know somebody you can say to somebody. It's horrible. Like, see, sometimes with me and my girlfriend, I might feel under pressure to go, this holiday's good. This is a good holiday. And I don't really like it. If I'm not liking it, there's been holidays that I like, and I go, I actually like this. But see if she says, this isn't very good, I'll wait for her to say it first, right? I'm that type of person. If she says, this isn't very good, you don't like it? No, good, I fucking hate it. Fucking shite into it.
I can talk about it now.
Aye, food's shite.
Here's the long list of things that I don't like about it.
And it just feels good to just go, this is crap. It feels good to be like right in the middle of a concert or something, and go, what do you think of this, by the way? I'm not liking it. Good, fucking shit, ain't it?
I like it. Me and my brother watch a lot of stand-up together, mm-hmm. and we've got exactly that. There's that thing, there's a point where we'll look over and be like, are we turning this off now? Are we going on for something else? Because again, it's like, I don't want to sit, if we're not enjoying it, it's that, in general, if there was more people in the living room at the time, we'd sit through the whole thing, because you wouldn't want to say, I'll turn it off. But it was like 10 minutes in, like, you feeling this? I'm not. Like, nah.
Aye.
On to the next one. And then we find something that we really enjoy, and it's great.
Aye.
And it's wonderful.
Aye.
Instead of politely sitting through misery and boredom.
I wrote a story.
Waiting for it to end.
I wrote a story in Daft V Stories. It's kind of about that. It's called End of the Road, I think it is. And it's sort of based on Boys to Men. End of the Road. So I was going, End of the... And it's about a guy who gets into money, or he's got money and he's doing really well for himself, and it's just no working out.
Yeah.
It's just no... The finer things in life, he's bored there, and then he gets all self-destructive, and then he blows it all, and he gets into drugs and fucking his life up. And that isn't doing it for him either. And he ends up just finding this... He hears End of the Road by Boys to Men on the radio, and he's like, that's it. That's what I want to get into. How fucking mediocre that song is. I mean, it's an alright song, and everything.
Yeah.
But Boys to Men and that. Is that it's called The Concert, I think it's called. Yeah. It's called The Concert. And he decides he's going to go to a Boys to Men concert. He doesn't even like them that much. He doesn't hate them, but he's not really that bothered about them. And he's like, this is what I want to get into. I want to get into the most mediocre, middle-of-the-fucking-road thing out, like that song, because he's about to kill himself and he hears that song, and it's just so fucking normal. It's just, you hear it on the radio, you don't give two fucks about it either way. And he just decides he's going to get into that. He's going to get into, like, rom-coms, watching rom-coms, you know, the sort of things you see when they advertise the side of buses. And I'm kind of, like, getting like that now myself. Like, I feel like people say, oh, this film's good, and I don't like it. This film's good. Listen to this album. You're looking for new kind of dance stuff, new electronic stuff. Listen to this. I don't really like it. It's all right. I don't like it. And I'm like that. Right, I'm not even going to aim for watching or listening to good stuff anymore. I'm going to go for stuff I know won't be that good. Yeah. Like a kind of Jennifer Aniston...
Yep.
Maybe rom-com. I've not actually went and done it yet. I don't dislike Jennifer Aniston, but that's just not my thing.
Last night, I decided I had the night off, and I got back to my hotel room, and I was like, I'm just going to watch a film. And I had loads of great film options and great recommendations. And what I settled on, I didn't end up watching. I ended up just watching some TV and going to bed early. But the one I had chosen on was London Has Fallen.
See that?
And it was exactly, I was like, I don't want a good film
that's
at this
exactly
point.
That's exactly what
I just want. London Has Fallen. I just want something that's going to be just not good. It's not going to be awful. It's just going to be this thing. It's just going to be. It's going to be there.
I just want to say all your listeners, I was sitting back in a seat, and now I'm pure sitting forward.
Yeah,
because I'm like, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
I've been thinking, like, what would I want to watch? People say, you should watch The Witch. That's a good film.
That was the one I was going to watch, and then I chose, other than The Witch, I chose Londoners Fall instead.
The other night, I was thinking, what can I get? What can I fucking watch that sort of, right, it's just, I know it's, what was I watching? I was actually on Mark Kermode's top, worst 10 films of the year so far. Yeah, something like that, yeah. Right? And that was one of them. Is it London Has Fallen and there's another one?
They did one before that was like The White House Has Fallen or something like that.
Aye. But that was one of them, and there's Gerard Butler, and I'm like, that's exactly what I want. Now, I'm not fucking slagging off Gerard Butler, a guy who comes to fucking Paisley, fucking good on him, magic, he's done fucking brilliant for himself. Good on you, Gerard.
Damn right.
Good on you, fantastic, because I know you're listening in once you heard that I'm on and all that. No, it's fucking excellent what he's done for himself and all that, right? Yeah. And that the films he's in, though, that kind of thing, I'm not really into that. You know, if I'm saying to myself, oh, I want a kind of a film that's out of order.
Yeah.
Or it's horrifying or something that I really want, that's the sort of thing I want, an existential sort of one where somebody's going, what the fuck is this all about? Yeah. What am I doing in my life? You're not going to get it, but that kind of thing, or Jennifer Aniston. He was in one with Jennifer Aniston, wasn't he? That kind of thing that's maybe a bit cheesy or a bit kind of 2D or whatever. I've not watched the film, by the way, but see, when I saw that was one of the films, yeah, Mark Kermode was saying, wasn't that good? I thought, that's what I'll fucking get. That's what I'll get. And I know, see, because he's saying it isn't a good film, that's what I'm fucking wanting.
Yeah.
And because I know that it won't just be like boring or something. I know that film will only fail at what it's probably trying to do.
Yeah, but I won't be let down by that film, because the expectation is already, it's grounded out already.
Aye, so it's kind of like that story in Daffy's Stories and Hogmanay.
Yeah.
If you don't tell yourself this is going to be brilliant, this is going to be really good, this is going to be really good, and then it isn't, and it's a letdown, and like that, it's good to go like that. I'm going to watch this and I don't think it'll be that good. And then try to tell yourself, but remember, don't think to yourself it'll be good though, because it isn't
secretly
good.
Secretly, yeah.
Because it might no. It might what, actually I, turn
I,
it to be.
I think that did. It really worked for me. I went to see Batman versus Superman and I thought it was all right. But again, I genuinely think that's largely down to the amount of hate it got and the amount of stick it got, that I went in like, I see every superhero film, I really enjoyed them. Uh-huh. But I'd hadn't had time and I was seeing it really late and I was like, look, I'll just watch it, I'll get it out of the way. And I sat there and I was like, there's a big screen, there's crazy flying stuff going on that you couldn't have seen when I was a kid.
Aye.
So I'm pretty happy. I'm pretty happy. I'm not mad at the nuances, at the ludicrousness in nuances. Like, this is still a nice time.
None of that means anything to me anymore, because people were saying things like, oh, the Dark Knight, the Joker, Heath Ledger. Honestly, Heath Ledger's Joker. Remember Lynn, my girlfriend Lynn, saying, I saw the trailer.
Yeah.
She said, they played a wee bit of Heath Ledger, like, being the Joker, and it actually sounded really creepy. And she's not somebody who's like, oh, that's really scary, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
She's kind of like me, and, well, she doesn't get scared or think, oh, no, that's kind of creepy, that. Kind of cynical and things like that, right? And I was thinking, does it sound really creepy? Oh, the preparation that went into it, do you know, he's, and then when he died.
Of course.
How did he die again? I can't remember. It was an OD on something.
It was an OD of some kind of
painkiller type of thing.
Painkiller, yeah.
People were going like, was it him getting...
Got so deep into the character.
It just led to that, you know. And I thought, fuck me, man. What is this going to be like? And you hear the same thing like Suicide Squad with Jared... what's his name again? Jared Leto?
Jared Leto, yeah. Right. Leto.
What the things he would do on set and all that.
I had to refer to him as Mr. J.
Aye, and I'm like thinking back to The Dark Knight, and the reason I'm saying that is because I didn't really like The Dark Knight. Right. I liked the Joker and everything, I liked him. But I just couldn't, there's something about it, I couldn't get into it. And you look at IMDb and it's like fucking 9 out of 10, it's fucking higher than, you know, these fucking classics. And I'm like, yous can all fuck off. Yous have all... No, that's it. I think that's made other people starting to separate. Like two trains going side by side on a track, we're kind of together, look, and then that train starts to move away. That's me and other people.
Yeah.
And it's happened with other films that...
Yeah.
You know what you'll like? You will like this. And people who used to say, you know what you'll like? You'll like this. And I watch and I go, that was good. Or another one, they say, that was good. And then another one, nah, I didn't like that. And another one, I didn't like that. Oh, fuck, and they were parting ways and you're having to score their name out on the people to trust.
Yeah.
Like, recommendations.
I've got a mate who's it's kind of on the opposite scale of that, who keeps always asks me for recommendations. And there's been a few that haven't worked. And I don't want to recommend things because I'm aware, again, if I enjoy something, then that's enough for me. I don't need everyone else to enjoy it to confirm that it was good. It's like, and I remember it. I remember enjoying it. I don't need now 20 people to say, you're right about enjoying that. That was enjoyable. And when people are pushing for recommendations, it's like, well, I don't want that pressure. It's like, I enjoyed this. You can watch it. Something different might happen with you, but I enjoyed it, and I don't want the pressure of then
I like
you having
recommended
to enjoy
films,
it.
But I try to always put a disclaimer in. I always try to make sure, say, I like this.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, some people might say, this is a good film.
Yeah.
This is good.
Yeah.
You will like
equally,
this.
This is bad.
Aye.
This is shit. It's like, no, it wasn't to your taste.
Aye. There's a few films I always like to recommend, and I always recommend The Hunt.
Yep.
Which is, I think, a Danish film with Mads Mikkelsen, who played Hannibal.
Yeah,
Hannibal.
I know the guy.
And also Wake in Fright. Is this Australian film for the 70s? And it's I won't want to fucking bore you with what that's all about, but never heard it before.
Yeah.
And I will bore you. Is this Australian teacher and he's sort of a bit posh and everything? He's English and he's went to Australia. And he's in the middle of nowhere. He teaches his school ends in a wee kind of fucking hut type of thing. He's got to do that. He's got the way the Australian system works is they'll teach you how to be a teacher, and then you've got to kind of pay your way back. You've got to earn your money to get that teaching role there. If you want to teach somewhere else, you've got to stick in that job for like a year or something at that place. He's ready to go back to Sydney, misses the train or something, and he has to go to this nearby town, like a mining town or something, called the Yabba, and everybody's drinking and all that. He's no like that. But slowly he gets dragged into the kind of minging fucking world that they go, just kind of men.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, walking class, drinking and swearing, and he's not like that. He's like an almost Shakespearean, in a way. And you just see him getting dragged, it's kind of like a moral degradation. You just see him, it's getting worse and worse and worse. I fucking loved it.
That sounds great. What's it called again?
Wake and Fright. It's meant to be a phrase that means kind of like a type of hangover, like a kind of like, I think like the horrors, as my dad used to call it.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've got a term for it, but you know, like, you have kind of like hangovers when you're a teenager and you just feel like a bit of a headache. Then you get a certain age, I don't know if it happens to everybody, but it happened to me and my pals. We hit something like 20 or something, and then the hangovers turned into a kind of what my dad called the horrors.
The horrors.
Which is, you're walking down the fucking street, and my pal Paul at the time said his hangover was so bad, he was walking out, he needed to renew his bus pass on a Sunday. He left the house, started walking down to the shops, and just because of people walking past, sort of looking at him, just casually looking, he just couldn't take it.
Yeah.
And he doubled back and went back to his fucking house. It's like a kind of agoraphobia, claustrophobia.
Kind of,
like I've been walking up the town before, and you just can't look at anybody. You can't fucking look at anybody. You can't take anybody
looking
at you. You look at the ground, and you're thinking, don't look at the ground for too long, because is everybody looking at me right now? It's like fucking just paranoia, and I don't know how to handle social situations, but you can't articulate it. You're just like, this is fucking horrible. And if you're in work, you're just like, I'm shite at my job. I'm shite at everything. I'm going to get found out. I've ruined everything. I've ruined my whole life until like Tuesday comes and you're a bit better. But I wake in fright, and I really like that.
Yeah, I'll have to give that a look. That sounds good.
It's just kind of, it's not a disgusting film, but it's that kind of way that fucking look at what's happened. I really, really like it.
Yeah.
But I would love somebody to come along, somebody like me, on me for the future, come back and say, between your present day and the next 20 years, I've only managed to find 5 films that we like.
Yeah.
This, and these other 2 films that aren't out yet. And so I could watch it rather than wasting all my time. I think I'll go and watch Casablanca and then get 10 minutes in and going, ah, fuck it, man.
Yeah.
I'm just not like other people. So I'm kind of running out of things to be into, and I'm starting to get into mediocre things or things that I know.
The one that I recommend a lot to people is called Time Crimes.
Oh, I've seen that. It's really like kind of Time Chronos or something.
Yeah,
like,
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was just weird in its own little way, but thoroughly engaging. And it was weird. I used to get in arguments about it because people would always go on, or similarly, people would always go, you'd love Primer. Primer, right, you've got to watch Primer. And Primer, for me, I was like, it was all right, but I'd no desire to watch it again. And it felt like one that was thrown out regularly, whereas Time Crimes I watched and I was engaged throughout. I wasn't watching it thinking, people are going to be impressed that I've seen this. Whereas Primer, I felt I was watching it as if I'll wait till people hear about what I've watched.
Aye.
And for some reason, Time Crimes was the one I was like, no, this is actually an engaging
That was
engaging
one of the films people recommended to me, and I watched it, and I was like, okay, it was all right.
Yeah.
It was all right, but since fucking, you know, time's passed, I look back when you mentioned it there, I thought, no, I actually liked it.
Yeah.
I liked it, but no at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's kind
of the pressure of recommendation. Well, it's literally that.
It kind of reminds me of what I was saying earlier about being on that train, Daffy Stories, going on mm-hmm. that tour. The difference between enjoying your life at that very moment and going, this is actually the time of my life right now, compared to looking back to when I was 8, filtering out all the things you didn't like. And it's kind of like that with Time Crimes, and there's been some other films that at the time I didn't really enjoy looking back, and lots of time has passed with all these shite films. I go, fuck, I yearn for the fucking days.
I yearn for that word. I yearn for an all right film.
But I remember at the time going, Time Crimes, oh, it was all right. I remember kind of going like that, being a bit kind of trying to go against the grain. But yeah. I was trying to be honest and all, though.
Yeah.
Going like that, no, I don't know. No, 5 out of 10.
Yeah.
Something like that, or having watched all these films since, I'm like, fuck me, man, give me another Time Crimes or something like that. So, but see, like Wake in Fright or The Hunt, and maybe one or two other films.
You see, The Hunt is one that I've gone to watch a few times and haven't, and in a similar way, it's that kind of, I've watched something, throw away instead.
Aye.
Because I've been in that mood, and not, I'll get around to both of them at some point.
That's a film that at the time of me watching, it's kind of like being on that fucking train. I'm like, I'm enjoying this right now. This is good. And hardly anything came up that made me go, ah, you bastard, it's turned into this. A film that was like that.
I love it when you're waiting for that. You're like, this is good, but something, it's not going to work.
Aye. But what was it? It Follows.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah.
For, what was it, 2015 maybe?
Yeah.
And that, I mean, the first half of that, I was like, this is fucking magic. This is creepy.
Yeah.
I've not got the creeps for fucking years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I just love things where you're looking about, is it air there?
Yeah.
Wait a minute, look at that crowd of people there. Who's that there?
Yeah.
Who the fuck is that there walking towards the fucking camera? And that kind of slow zoom, that 80s, 70s, 80s, slow zoom into something. You're like, what am I looking for? What about? I see it. I see it now. That kind of thing, when somebody's walking towards the camera and they're right in the middle, they're not sort of coming off of the side, they're right in the middle, walking. Good old walking, no running, walking.
Classic walk.
I'm not going to stop. But then about halfway in, I was like, oh, I wish that didn't happen, that wee thing there. And I was like, you're a fucking bastard,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, I was similar on that. And again, I always worry that I'm trying to be contrary or whatever. And I've had it with Stranger Things recently. I enjoyed Stranger Things. I thought it was cool. But I'm not as excited as everyone else in the world seems to be about it. But I didn't hate it. So it's one that, in general, it's like I'm trying just not to respond to people when people ask me if I've seen it, because I don't want to be, it was all right. But it's like, it was good.
Yeah.
But it's that thing that everything now, it's got to be the best thing ever.
I'm really, really fucking desperate. First, I watched Stranger Things. I only watched the first three episodes.
Yeah.
I watched a wee bit of the first episode, and I remember saying to folk, I think I'm going to leave it there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, stick with it. Gave it three episodes.
Yeah.
Somebody said that, so I gave it three episodes. I thought, right, it's sort of getting better, and I'm kind of getting into it, but no, this isn't for me. I feel as if I've got like a terminal illness, and I've perpetually got a week to live. That's what it feels like. And I'm like, I've not got the fucking time for this.
I've not got
the time for, like, save like three episodes in, I think, I get it, it's a good idea, and I love them. I like the music.
I think that's perfect, though. I think, again, too few people walk away from a TV show. Like, I've got a lot of mates who watch a series and go, yeah, that was shit.
So,
again, if I've recommended it, it's like, well, again, as we've said, people have different tastes, but it's like, if you thought it was shit, you shouldn't have kept watching it. It's like, I now feel the guilt that I've recommended it. It was a 12-episode series.
Aye.
And you've sat through 12 hours of not enjoying it. It's like, you should have made the grown-up decision after three or so to go, this isn't for me.
I've had my fingers burned like fuck in the last few years. Like, what I do with films, if I'm watching films and things like that, normally with films, I watch the first half hour, first 30 minutes, and I try to go, I'm definitely watching that, right? Even if I'm like, fuck this.
Yeah.
And then I'll decide if I'm going to keep on watching it. And it normally gets switched off, and people say, that's just a fucking waste. What you don't know how the film's going to go later. But I've just got this wee thing in my head. I'm like, I can't remember back in the days when I liked film, but, you know, films I fucking liked. I can't think of any film that in the first half hour, I didn't really like it, then went on to go, really good film.
Yeah.
If the first half hour is that good, it's not, I'm like, this isn't my cup of tea. So I just switch it off. And, like, I'm old enough, and I've got the kind of mindset to not sit for fucking 10 episodes or something, because maybe on episode 7, there's a wee set piece, you know, direction-wise.
That was really
interesting. That I would rather just hear about it in the grapevine. Oh, there's a really good bit in this thing.
Yeah.
And then go on YouTube and see, type in the name of the program.
See that
and
bit.
The thingy scene.
Yeah.
Or that bit. I'm just like that. Half three episodes. What was it I watched? The first series are True. What was it called?
True Blood.
True Detective. True Detective.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I'm enjoying this. Second last episode, near the last 15 minutes of the second last episode, when the, I don't know if I'm ruining it for anybody, but when the kind of baddie sort of shows up, the line he says at the end, I'm like, wait a minute, this has sort of changed into something a wee bit silly. Yeah. It was a wee bit kind of mysterious before. And in the last episode, where this baddie's doing like voices or something, I'm like, what the fuck is this crap he's turned into? It reminded me of one of these, like, Texas Chainsaw Massacre remakes.
Yeah, yeah.
Where, like, he's sort of creepy and saying, like, what people these days think is a scary kind of character.
Yeah.
We'll get him kind of talking to himself or something. I was like, you fucking cunts have ruined this. That was about 2 months of my fucking life.
Yeah.
It's just fucking ruined. Oh, but think about that scene that goes on for, like, you know, it's like one continuous shot. Was that in that?
Yeah.
I'm like, that's good. Right, but I could have watched that on YouTube.
Yep.
And there was something else I watched, I thought, go all the way to the end. You've watched this many episodes, go all the way to the end. I can't remember the name of the fucking series, but it wasn't like it was on the second or third or fourth series.
Yeah.
But it was something like, I got to the end, I was like, fucking, was that it? Oh, it was American Horror Story, Asylum.
Yeah.
And people were saying, that's the best one.
Yeah.
That's the best. Because I watched the first one, and people were saying, Asylum's the best one. Especially with when she's singing.
Yeah.
With the kind of, what's my name, or no, what's my name, or she does that kind of rhyming thing.
Right.
Right. She's oh, that's brilliant. I was like, no, I didn't like it. And when I got to the end of the whole thing, I was like, you know, it's an overused phrase, oh, that's like 2 hours of my life that I'll never get back and all that. But that's how I fucking felt. I never felt like that before. When I watched that, I was like, fuck me, man. That time I just poured it, considering how fucking discerning I am now.
Yeah.
How much I'm like, if that's the right word, how much I'm like, I really just want to spend my time on watching stuff that I'm quite sure I'll like.
Yeah.
What the fuck were you then?
And when you're happy to walk away from stuff, the stuff you haven't walked away from then has even more to live up to and to...
I thought, it's going to get, just one more episode, it's going to get, that's a wee bit interesting, you never know how this will go. And then I was just like, oh God, is that it? Like, listen. And it's the same with all these other things. The Dark Knight, things like that. Listen, see all yous, just, that's me and yous finished.
Yeah.
Like breaking up, I feel like I'm breaking up with people. Yeah. Just, can I talk to you for a minute? I feel like, to everybody, have you got a minute? I'm just not, it's actually quite important really. And sit the whole fucking world in and say, I just don't think it's working out. I don't think it's working out. I think we're kind of, do you know, feel it? Do you know, feel that we're not kind of connecting? We're into different things now.
You can do the trains thing again.
I think that's it. What do you think? No, I think we've got so much more to offer.
Just watch two more episodes.
I think, honestly, see if you just watch the, watch Game of Thrones. I've watched Game of Thrones. And I like it. Right, well, but that was me watching it. You didn't tell me to watch it. Watch American Horror Story Hotel. Is that what it is?
I have no idea, yeah.
Which is meant to be shite. I think that's me and people party company. I swear to God, it's like, I say to people, I've got nothing else to watch now. You've got to watch it. See, when you actually make things up yourself, you could potentially be making up telly stuff yourself.
Yeah.
See, when you then go and slag off somebody else's telly stuff, you've got to watch it because it looks as if you're saying, I know how to make telly stuff.
Yeah.
They don't.
Yeah.
It's just personal taste.
Yep.
Completely. Especially don't do it with comedy stuff if you make comedy stuff.
Like,
watch that thing that's meant to be funny. I didn't laugh because people can just turn around and go, you think you're that fucking funny? I think your stuff's shite.
So I'm talking as a viewer here.
I
didn't laugh. That doesn't mean, you know.
It's hard though because a lot of people don't really think that way. You're saying,
yeah, completely.
I'm not saying they've got it wrong.
Yeah.
Because people, they say, like, I could say to somebody, I could say on Twitter, I didn't like that film, 3 out of 10.
Yeah.
Right. And somebody go, my arse, it's fucking brilliant. I'm like, no, I'm not saying it is a shite film.
Yeah.
And
I didn't enjoy it.
And the kind of metaphor I use is like champagne. People might talk about a caviar or something. Caviar's meant to be dead good.
Yeah.
I don't like it. I've not had it, mind you, but I don't like fucking fishy things.
Yeah.
Or champagne. Champagne tastes like fucking diamond white to me.
Yeah.
Tastes like just like cheap fucking shite, just white, fizzy white wine. I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't like that taste. It's like vinegar. But there's people who go, that's a really fantastic bottle of champagne.
But yeah, they can't accept that someone I like something. Again, the rare times I've expressed a negativity against a film or whatever, and someone's around and gone, it made $135 million in the box office. It's like, I'm really happy for them. That's wicked.
I don't think Christopher Nolan sitting there reading my opinion going,
I'm gutted.
You're wrong.
Yeah.
You're wrong.
Let's start to wrap. Oh man, I've had you here for hours now. Let's wrap things up. This is going to be going out beginning of September, which is just before you're bringing your live show to Salford on the 13th of September and London on the 16th of September.
Aye, that's right. Thanks for remembering.
I've got the dates in there. What does the live show consist of now? Because you said in the old days it used to be you'd have some stuff on screens and you'd talk, but then I saw the on iPlayer, I don't know if it's on there still, when Daft Wee Stories came out, you did some readings, and they were great, because it was doing some characters a bit. So what is the show you're touring?
The one did South. I did it for 4 nights at the Armadillo here in Glasgow, and it's basically Lemmy Show Live.
Brilliant.
It's Daft Wee Stories is about the book, and it's not Lemmy Show stuff at all. It's like Falkenhoof live, Dee Dee live, Jacqueline McCafferty live. And I just wanted to do what are people's favourite sketches and characters and all that. Do them, or like with the sketches, don't just do the sketches fucking word for word. And
yeah.
That's that. Do a wee kind of twist on it. And things like she's turned away. It's like kind of stuff of going to the audience and other cast members going to the audience. New videos. Like, because I have to fuck off and get changed for a few minutes and come back as, like, leave as Falkenhoof and come back as Dee Dee.
Yeah.
So it's that really, it's Let Me Show Live. And so if people have never seen Let Me Show, I can imagine them turning up and not getting a lot. It's not like you can turn up, it's not like Lee Evans.
Yeah.
Or Kevin Bridges or something turn up and he's just saying stuff. Oh, we all know that, we've all been there. That's funny.
It's a superhero movie without an origin story. It's, do you know what I mean? It's good if you know where it's come from and what the origin and birth is.
It's a love letter to the fans of Let Me Show. It's got references to stuff that I'm sure, like, if you've never seen it, you'll be like looking a bit like, why is everybody laughing
at that? Yeah.
But if you've never seen Let Me Show, it's on YouTube and all that. I'm thinking of making up a wee fucking playlist on YouTube. A kind of preparation pack for the show. In case somebody's maybe seen, well, I've seen this sketch and that sketch and this sketch and I really like it, so I'm going to go and see them live. I don't want them turning up and going, I don't get that. Why is he walking about saying she's turned the winds against us? Yeah. What are winds? So I don't want to go like that. Here is what you can expect live versions of. But I feel like doing something like that so people kind of, they know it, or I don't know.
I like it, giving them homework before the show.
It's going to be Salford and London and just all the live stuff and I'm talking shit here. It's just all your live stuff, you know. But going to the audience, because I thought, right, I want to get in amongst it, I thought, and she's turned the wains against us, I thought, in that sketch, I just walk up the street, like, she's turned the wains against us. I thought, that'd be good to kind of fucking stoat about the fucking audience.
Yeah.
Shouting at. I thought, but what can you do to make it a bit different, to make it a bit kind of jaws hitting the fucking deck type of thing? So I've got a wee, got surprises in there.
Excellent.
And they went doing well. There was at the Armadillo, so hopefully folk down south like it or not.
That's fantastic. And what else is ahead? I know from your Twitter and from our discussion before we started recording that there's going to be more Daft Wee stories to come. So what's kind of, what's the plan and schedule of all that?
The second book, it's not going to be, I know you're not fucking saying this is literally what the title's going to be, more Daft Wee stories, but some people did say, is it going to be Daft Wee stories 2, T-O-O, or like more Daft Wee stories, or Daft Wee stories? But I think it's going to be, I don't know what it's going to be called, but it's kind of like, quite a lot of them are kind of longer than Daft Wee stories, and I'm not trying to get all serious, but I try to make it a bit less punchline-y, a bit less kind of having a wee joke that I'm writing a story.
Because
I did that with a lot of Daft Wee stories, and I like doing that, but I thought, I don't want to keep doing that. Like writing a story that's about writing a story,
or writing
a story where I'm kind of talking about the character. So there was this wee guy, and he was doing this, and what do you make of that then? I like that kind of way of writing, where I'm sort of, as if I'm in front of you going, what do you make of this guy? And the funny thing is, it's me that's writing it, and I'm sort of, I like that, it's kind of casual and everything, but I thought, I want to write some other types of things that I don't want to get in the way, I don't want to do that jumping in as an author in a sort of jokey way, going, what do you make of that then? You know, that kind of thing, what do you make of this guy? I want to sort of kind of hide myself away a wee bit more and do stories that are a wee bit kind of stranger, like, kind of like when you're seeing something, you're looking at a window, a pub or a cafe or something, and you just see something happening, and it hasn't got a punchline to it, it's just a strange thing to see. I want to do things like that rather than just joking about writing stories. I still want it to be funny, but I'm with this new book, I'm trying not to be too at the end. I kind of like ones that actually end without that. I really like that. Like, I've been reading other short stories. I really like Raymond Calver,
right?
Who's somebody I've never heard of before. He's dead now, but he was like kind of popular in the 70s and 80s American writer, and it's these kind of slice of life things where it's just like a couple sort of talking or a group of pals and they're talking and have, maybe having a wee argument or something, and it doesn't end in any kind of here we've been leading up to this conclusion. It doesn't go on for 10,000 words. They're all about 2,000 words or 3,000 words. You can read them in about 10 minutes or something, each story. And it just sort of like departs.
Yeah.
Just, you just kind of walk away. It's the story just sort of ends. At the end, it just sort of, that's it. And at the beginning, you're like, what? And then the more I read it, I'm like, I'm getting used to this dude and I like it. And it sort of rubbed off of me a wee bit. That I'm not trying to, I'm getting away from the kind of sketch show writing frame of mind where...
Yeah, I get that.
Punchline. What's the joke here? What's the punchline? You could say a lot of my comedy stuff hasn't got a punchline, but it's always got some kind of ending.
Yeah.
It's always got some kind of wee kind of finishing line to it, to kind of round it off. And I quite like these stories that just sort of don't end in a wee... cracking wee finishing line that just sort of...
It's got a more naturalistic and real life.
It's got this wee feeling, odd feeling. I don't know, maybe after this book, if I get to do another one, I'll do something even different, more different for that, that it's a bit more experimental. That's
because
I've been asking people about short story books on the internet, and some people saying, oh, you should try this, you should try that. Like, there's one book that's something like 99 styles or different styles or something like that. And it's this person who wrote this one scenario that's maybe like on a bus or something. And he's wrote it in 99 different ways, like a poem or first person sort of thing, as if he's the person that this happened to, or a news report, or a kind of Shakespearean way, or same thing happening again and again and again, but told in these different ways. I'm like, I like that. I like, even if I read that and I wasn't into it, I like the idea that you're not just telling a story, simple as that.
Yeah.
Even though I like books, are just the fucking story and the character. You're just going, what's it like to kind of think about it for these different ways?
These different positions and
because I did have an idea for one story before I found out about that. I thought, I keep having it in my head, this idea of somebody storing up in a hotel. Because being on holiday the last couple of years, somebody's storing up at a kind of family hotel, and you know, there's people who've been there for a while, they've been there for like a week already.
Yeah.
And somebody stands up, like, it's, they kind of stand up on a seat, everybody's kind of chatting, maybe it's for breakfast or lunch. And somebody stands up on a seat in the middle of a fucking like big place, like kind of canteen looking place. Just want to say to everybody, thank you very much, everybody, for completely ignoring me the whole holiday. Thank you very much. Just wanted to say that. That's all. And then they sit down. And somehow that popped in my mind. It never happened, right? But I thought, what if somebody was to do that? Because I saw somebody and it looked like they were pissed off about something.
Yeah.
And they weren't. I just kind of imagined it.
They
looked like they had a red face and were saying something. They just had an expression on their face. And I went, what's he doing? It looked like he wasn't enjoying his holiday. Like, it was, and I thought it was really funny. And I like the idea of, like, maybe somebody by themselves, or a guy with his family, and you've just got there, but this cunt's been here for like maybe a week or a fortnight, and there's been something building up in this guy's head. You don't know what it is. And he just stands up, and he just goes like that. Thank you. Just want to say, this is our last day. We're leaving today. I thank you, everybody, for completely ignoring me. Sit down, John. No, for just completely ignoring me and my family the whole holiday. Thank you very much. Enjoy your breakfast. Sit down, John. Oh my God. And then, like, the son running away embarrassed.
Yeah.
And you don't find out what has led to that. You don't find out. But what you do see is that same thing told for five different holiday makers.
Yeah.
Like, so maybe it's a couple, they're kind of talking, they're going through a bad patch or something, they're chatting. Just then, they heard a seat moving. Just want to say, and they turned around to hear somebody saying, just want to say, what's that? A guy standing up saying, I just want to say, thank you for ignoring me and my family. in the whole holiday. And then that couple might completely ignore it, or they might talk about it, and it might divert away from their argument. And then you get the same story again, but told for like a member of staff who's there, or somebody who doesn't work at the hotel, for somebody maybe drowning in the fucking pool or something. And they can just hear somebody shout something, you know, in between gasping for fucking breaths. They can just hear somebody going like that. Thank you very much for ignoring family. You know, sit down.
You see, that could be fun, because you could really break down the actual statement that said and choose which bits they hear. So it could completely change the tone of it, completely change the meaning.
Or it could just
meaning.
Be the son. The son who runs away embarrassed these fucking stupid fucking da standing up in front. Everybody see him running away. Or it could be a couple, like, pals talking about it in a pub 3 weeks after it happened. Saying, oh, there was this one guy, like, he could be trying to tell his pals it.
Yeah.
Oh, I meant to tell you there was a guy on holiday and he just fucking stood up there. Here, listen, what he's all wanting, by the way. What was I saying there? Something about a guy on holiday. There's a guy on holiday and he stood up, but are they going to stick the football in? What? They said they're going to stick the football in. Why are we in here? They're not even sticking the football in. Right. Oh, right, there's the screen coming down. What were you going to say? You're going to say something before? I can't fucking remember. I can't remember. I was going to say something. It doesn't matter. Where are we going tomorrow then for the thing? You know, he never gets to tell his story. I like the idea. It's not really about, right, so what happened to that family? It's about the other people.
It's not so much about it's removing the top part of the plot and focusing completely on all the subplots and all the... It's removing the lead character, essentially, and looking at the
I love that type of thing, and somebody else told me about a story, I think it's called The Mezzanine, and it's about a guy, like, going up an escalator, I think it's some kind of mezzanine level, or maybe a shopping centre, I can't remember. And that's all that happens in the story is he's gone up an escalator, and that's it. But during that, he's thinking about things, and why this, and why that, and maybe... thinking about, I don't know if it's like observational comedy or just kind of observational stuff, but all that actually happens is that it maybe goes off and like he talks about things that actually have happened, but it's simply about what's going on in his mind as he's gone up. And I like things like that. I like these weird things rather than, I like Stephen King, but rather than Stephen King just as a story, what happens next and getting to know the characters and that. I like stories about nothing. I want to write a book that's stories about nothing, but it's maybe a guy getting something out of a vending machine. Or one thing that keeps popping up in my head, and this is strange to say, this is something that interests me, but I like the idea of a story about a guy who had to switch off his electricity in the house to fix a light thing, switches it back on, and the clock on the oven is now flashing 0000. And he's trying to work out how to set the time. He's forgot how to do it.
Yeah.
And it's just about that. It's just somehow, for 2,000 words, it's about him doing that clock thing. And I'm like, and that's it. And maybe it branches off to, God, this is like that time when I was trying to do that thing and that other thing's a bit more interesting. But I like the idea of, no. Just make it about him. He presses his app button, but there's not an hour button, a minute button, or a plus and minus button. What are the buttons he's to press? But he knows he can do it. He got to do what he did. I just set the fucking thing, and he's looking for the instructions and the thingy, and then it's the pots and pans there. And the more I think about it, I'm like, I'm interested in fucking knowing what's in this guy's cupboard and how he goes about it. Would I watch that if I was on the telly? I think I fucking would.
Love it.
But I don't know if I'm going mental, though. I don't know if it's because I'm bored on normal things.
Yeah.
And I end up writing that and people go, are you fucking insane?
It's finding those things that allow you to go off on the tangents, though. And it works in some of the longer ones in Duff we saw as well. And even on that, like when there are some certain things where it's focusing on a small thing for just a short story. But on a book I'm working on, there's a chapter I finished recently, and the plan at the start of that, like all I'd noted at the start was, I really like the idea that he starts the chapter just, he's at work and he's making a cup of tea.
Aye.
But I want him to never get round to having a sip of that cup of tea.
Aye.
And again, that was it. It kind of, that was enough of a crux to go, right, well, I'm going to have someone interrupt here,
mm-hmm.
and I have to have something happen there. And aye. It's kind of that starting aye. Point of make a tea, but never, or but get to the end and realise he's never had a sip of it.
Aye.
And that's it. All mm-hmm. the rest can kind of come together aye. And go off on its, mm-hmm. its own place. Anyway, let's wrap things up here as we're over the 2 hour mark now, which is impressive. It flies by.
I could talk like fuck.
But thank you very much for coming along. I'm glad we finally got to sit down and have a chat.
Thanks for having me.
And I mean, I often, it's become a tired thing now. I get annoyed of it, but I often ask, like, where can people keep an eye on things and follow things? But you're on Twitter and
yeah,
all things like that. People
that's
can
it.
Find you.
Twitter, sometimes Facebook. I mean, I've got a Facebook page and everything, but Twitter's the main thing. I'm never off it.
Perfect. And it's at Darth Limmy on Twitter, is it?
Aye.
Yep, perfect.
Yep.
Well, thank you very much, sir. I look forward to everything that's ahead.
Thank you very much. And to all your listeners, I'm shaking your hand.
You've been listening to Scrooby's Picks.
There we go. That was part two. That's a good couple of hours of listening for you this week, you lucky buggers. We've got more next week. Check it out. Check out the Marcus Brigstock episode from last week if you didn't catch it already. Check out the Brendan Burns episode from the week before if you didn't catch that already. Had a lot of great guests. Check out the live ones in Edinburgh and Glasgow. Because I recorded the Edinburgh one the day before this podcast and the Glasgow one on the day of this podcast, I believe. So it was a pretty intense time of podcasting. Yeah, it was over 3 days. I recorded 2.5 to 3 hours on stage in Edinburgh. Then with guests of Sage Francis and B. Dolan. Then Marcus Brigstock. So Marcus Brigstock was 90 minutes or so, then over 2 hours with Limmy, then over 2 hours on stage in Glasgow. So that's a lot of podcasting crammed into a short amount of time. But we've got a lot more great stuff to come. As I've mentioned, we've got Neil Woods next week. You're going to really enjoy that. He was an undercover policeman for 14 years, fighting the war on drugs, and now regretting pretty much every action he took and talking openly about that, which is kind of amazing. So yeah, I think you're really going to enjoy this episode. We've got a lot of good people coming up. Who have I got lined up that I haven't recorded with yet? I've got Edith Bowman lined up. I've got Frankie Boyle lined up. I'm always loathe to say who I've got lined up when they're not actually recorded, because I've had loads that end up not being able to fit, or times changing and things not quite sitting right. But yeah, got plans with Rob Alton, with Edith Bowman, with loads of people, with Frankie Boyle. I'm talking to Michael Venom Page's people to try and get him on. I'm hoping to do a Bestival special. Actually, I should tell you this. Hopefully you're still listening and haven't tuned out. I normally do the spoken word stage at Bestival, which, as this goes out, is the weekend after next. Sadly, this year they've had to cut the arts budget pretty much completely and cancelled the whole stage that I do the spoken word on and numerous other things on. And that's a real shame, but it's still my favourite festival. It's apparently a tough year for festivals because there's so many, there's so much competition, so on and so forth. But what I'm trying to sort out is getting everyone who was going to be on my spoken word stage at Bestival and having them all on the podcast and chatting to them about their careers, getting them to do a bit of spoken word, and basically doing a Bestival Satin Lizard Lounge stage special on the podcast. So you can be there, or not there because it's not there, but we can all experience it without having to go and sit in a field. So yeah, that's a plan. That's ahead.
There's loads ahead. Check us out next week and I will have more updates on that. Thank you for tuning in. Please subscribe and do all that. I know I never does any of that. Like, you request it at the end, you say, can you rate and review us? I hear it on other podcasts and I rarely do it. I do it every now and then, but, you know, I rarely do. But if you could, it'd be great. But I don't have that much faith in you to do so. I think you're going to hear this and then just go, right, onto another podcast. And I get it. I get you guys. I'm one of you. I'm not mad. I ain't mad. Thank you for tuning in, guys. Ta-ta.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.